For example, if we have a teenager who has a pimple, there might be some fortunate person in this room that never in this world had a pimple. And says, I don't worry about that. It's no big deal. Well, if you got one, it's a big deal. If you have ever done anything that you look back and you think, how in this world did I do that? I remember as a little guy, people who rode in wheelchairs. I would sit in them, and when I found a wheelchair someplace, I'd sit in it, and I would turn, and I would roll, and sometimes my brother was a year older than I, we might race in them, and that was just so much fun, and I would think, boy, these people are lucky to get to ride in a wheelchair. But I never had to ride in one, and so I wasn't thinking in the way that they were. I remember seeing people on crutches. I'd never had crutches until I was at Free Parliament, and I was clowning around, playing basketball. We jumped up and came down. My foot landed on someone else's foot. I broke an ankle. So I lived on the second floor, had to go upstairs, and boy, I just thought, you know, when I was a little kid, I'd get people's crutches, and it'd be way too big, and I thought it was fun. You know, I'd get a good start, and I would get the crutches on the ground, and I would rise up off the ground. That was so much fun, but I never had to have crutches. I remember the first time I visited someone in jail. I thought, wow, how could anybody be so stupid as ever made a dumb enough mistake as to be in jail? Now, I've never been in jail. And I see people making such poor, poor judgment, and I see them wind up in jail. I see people who have no job. They can't get a job. They try to get a job. They can't get one. I didn't want them to give them a job. I didn't want them to mow my grass. I didn't want them to do things that I could do for myself and don't have to pay anybody to do. So I can't understand why somebody doesn't have a job. You'd work like I work, everything would be fine. I really have never been hungry. I thought a few times I was going to die. I think he said, I am going to die if I don't get something to eat. I've never in this world really been hungry. The only time I've ever been more than a few hours without food was when I was sick and didn't want anything. I have never in this world wanted food and it was nowhere around to be found. I've never done that. You ever looked around the church and seen somebody laughing and talking? And just think, what are they thinking? Or you see them on their phone or an iPad or something, and you think, wow, they're texting or doing something. What are they thinking? I get to thinking about that, and I am all of a sudden being conscious. Man needs to tell me something, and I'm over here talking. Or my phone thinks that I'm really expecting something from someone that's important to me, so I can reach and pull my phone out during worship. You see, I judge you based on me often. There's some times that I can't judge you based on me because of the past I've never been in jail. But you know what? We don't experience things ourselves. We generally judge the world based on our own experience. And we make lots of mistakes. Every person in this room needs compassion. Have you ever said, I don't want anybody feeling sorry for me? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You may think you're self-sufficient. You may think you've got it made. And I'm telling you, every person, the greatest one of you, the smartest one of you, the most brilliant one of you, needs compassion. So I want you to think tonight about every man. If I were to ask you, what does the average person in the world look like? What image would come to your mind? What is the average person in the world looking like tonight? Well, some people did a study. And here's what they came up with. Now, this image is distorted, and it's not because this time I didn't know how to do it. This is a composite, different parts of a person's face put together to create an image. And so it's a bit distorted. But after much research, thinking about the population of the world, thinking about how people look in the world, taking a composite of 1,900 people and putting it together, this is what the world's most typical person looks like. 28-year-old male and is Han Chinese in ethnicity. You say, I'm not there. I'm not every man in terms of physical appearance. The world is not like me. But you see, when I look at people that are not like me, I think, oh, they should look like me. And you may be sitting there thinking, oh, I've got news for you. They shouldn't be looking like you. But you see, we judge the world even in terms of how people look by ourselves. My nose may be bigger than yours. My skin may be darker than yours or lighter than yours. Or my hair may be darker than yours. And not exactly, but it might be lighter than yours exactly. And so we judge other people by the way we are. I've never really understood why people that I grew up with who were baptized into Christ were faithful people in the kingdom of the Lord who turned to sin. I've never understood how they could do that. That's hard to think about, isn't it? To just turn away from God, leave God altogether. How could you do that? Knowing what you know, how could you believe that you are going to be eternally lost in hell and still live the way you do? How can you do that? And we look at those people and we judge them in a different way because, you see, I go to church a lot. They're different from me. And I make an application of a different judgment toward them when I'm thinking about what they need in life than I make about myself. Now, I've shown you at least a part of the next slide before. But I believe when God's trying to help us see our spiritual self, your spiritual self, my spiritual self, he uses this physical description with leprosy. Something's wrong. Those people are not like me. I've never had leprosy. I don't want to know what it's like. But when I start looking at that picture, how do I feel? If I'm thinking about me, I need to be thinking about my spiritual self. Without Jesus Christ in my life and his grace and his mercy, his love that has been showered toward me, that is exactly what I look like spiritually, a deformed spiritual body. You see, God teaches us that our outward man decays day by day. Even these young people over here are growing older, and one day, guess what? They're going to look like me. You're going to have a fat body, you're going to have wrinkles, you're going to have gray hair or no hair. You're going to look like me because God says your outer person is growing every day. When I was your age, I promised myself, you will never be out of shape like these old people. You'll always be able to jump and run and play, and it just doesn't happen anymore. So when I was younger and had every physical skill that I possessed back then, not knowing what was ahead, promised myself I will never be in that shape. And I could have pointed to a bunch of you. But if I weren't standing up here, I'd be sitting there and I would be being pointed at myself. Hard to see ourselves. We start thinking about life. We need to think about compassion. The story that I want to share with you just briefly in Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, is a great story of the compassion of Jesus. How Jesus looked at us. It's so hard when you hurt my feelings to look at you with compassion. It's more of a look of indignation. And I want to know what you're thinking. I'm Roy Sharp. What are you doing hurting my feelings? What are you doing telling me the things that I don't want to hear and treating me in ways I don't want to be treated by? What is wrong with you? That's what I want to do. I don't know how you are, but that's exactly what I want to do. Hard to look with people who are making mistakes with compassion. Are you with me so far? Are you different from me? Do you look upon those people that hurt you and bother you and treat you wrong? Do you look upon them with compassion, or are you frustrated and angry? You see, the Lord gives us the picture of compassion in the most extreme way on the cross when he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's the example you and I need in the extreme. The example that we need in common, ordinary, everyday terms is the example Jesus gives in Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Now, you and I can't do what Jesus did in terms of healing someone miraculously, but I can tell you this, we can certainly treat people with compassion. We can do what we need to do to reach out to people and to touch people's lives and to help people. And so as we think about this great story of compassion, here's a person with a great need. A leper, no hope for a physical cure. Isolated, separated from his family often, separated from the community for sure, having prejudicial feelings about him in every way that you could think. But he came to Jesus. He had a real need. His need was so great, he would not come to Jesus. He was going to come. And so he came. But look at how he came. Verse 2 is a very powerful verse. Three statements from verse 2. He came to Jesus bowing, the English Standard Version says, worshiping, other translations say. He came down and he worshiped. He paid adoration. He paid homage. This was not just another man that he was bowing down to. He recognized who he was and he treated him in the way that he should. Secondly, this passage says he came in faith. He just comes to Jesus, he bows and worships him, and he said, you can make me clean. He believed it. He honestly thought that if he got to Jesus and he talked to Jesus, that he could be made clean. You can make me clean. So he came and worshiped, he bowed down, and then third, he came humbly. No demands. By God, if you really love me, you'll do this. I don't know where you've been. I don't know why I have leprosy. I don't know why I'm being treated this way. I don't know why I'm not like other people without leprosy. I don't know why I have to be separated. I don't know why. Lord, there was none of that. He just says, if you will. It's about the will of God. I'm so very often intrigued by the way all of us think. We read a beautifully marvelous passage like Romans 8 and verse 28, where it teaches us that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and to those who are called according to his purpose. It's my purpose I'm interested in. I want to be well. I want to have a job. I want to eat. I want all of these things. I want to be loved. I want to be where I want to be and how I want to be and when I want to be. And that's what I want, God. And if you can't give that to me, something's wrong with you. You see, we come to God demanding. Grief does strange things to people. I've been with people in hospital rooms where a family member dies, and immediately someone starts blaming God. Or an accident happens and someone blames God. Different kinds of things happen to us, and we want to reach out and blame God. Some awful things happen, don't they? Difficult to deal with. And grief will lead us in a very negative direction sometimes. But if we aren't careful, what we do with God is demand that God give me life the way I want life. I want life to be tomorrow exactly the way I want it to be, or something is wrong with God's will. Not anything wrong with God's will. We become so demanding sometimes, we don't come to the Lord in the right way. This guy had a great need. He had a great way to come to the Lord. And here's the response. Because of compassion. Jesus saw a man who had a great need. If you are willing, this leper said, you can make me clean. The Lord said, I'm willing. We will never have anyone deal with us in a more willing way than Jesus the Christ has dealt with us. I am willing. And he had the authority, he had the power to say, be clean. And the leper was cleansed immediately. There wasn't any surgery to be done. There wasn't any medicine to be applied. There wasn't any other kind of procedure that had to be done. Immediately, when Jesus said, I will be cleansed, immediately the leprosy was cleansed. Jesus did say, see that you say nothing to anyone. That seems strange to us, doesn't it? You go into all the world and you preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. You go. As you go, wherever you go, you teach the message of Christ. You help people be clean. It seems so strange that Jesus would say, see that you say nothing to anyone. There could be several reasons for that. One of the gospel records indicates that the crowds became so great, Jesus had to leave. And he couldn't function in that place anymore because of all of the crowds coming around him, seeking him. Perhaps that's why. There may be other reasons. But he did say, you must listen to what Moses said. You go show yourself to the priest, and you offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof. He could get a certificate of cleansing when he goes to the priest. And there won't be any question about it. There won't be any doubt about it. But if he didn't have that, Jesus, I think, knew two things. Number one, we need to be obedient. This man needed to be obedient. But number two, he did need the proof. He did need that certificate that the priest could give him. That's the response. When we start thinking about this story, this is an example for every man. Why is that? Because there's not a person in this room that hasn't sinned. There's not an older person in this room that hasn't sinned over and 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 over. You can keep going for a while for the best one of us. Hard to look upon people with compassion, isn't it? Because you see, I work pretty hard at trying to do what's right. And yet sometimes I know I shouldn't do it, but I do. I know I shouldn't say it, but I say it. I still violate God's will on purpose sometimes. So do you. It's our lot as human beings. But when we see other people making mistakes, oh, how hard it is to have compassion. Because you see, my mistakes are different from yours. First of all, they're mine. And yours are much worse than mine, just because mine are mine. And so it's hard to have compassion, but every one of us has a spiritual need. And if you can't understand that, you cannot deal with people with the compassion that you need to, even when people shoot themselves in the foot, as we say, and they do it over and over again, and here they come again, here comes the problem, and do we need to help? Yes, we do. Are there going to be times when we need to shake the dust off of our feet? Yes, there will be, but we must never be without compassion. Tonight, if you're in this room and you need to come to the Lord, you need to come to the Lord to be baptized into Christ, or as an erring child of God, you need to come back. If you want to see how to come, this is an example for every man. First of all, you had a great chance to honor God, to bow before Him and pay acts of reverence, worship toward God. Got to be that way. Jesus is not just every man. He is the man. Pilate said, "Behold the man." You and I need to take a look at that statement in a very special way. He is the man who gave his life a ransom for you and me. And we need to worship him. Except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Unless you can come and bow before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you will die in your sins. And you must come believing, first of all, that it's necessary. You must come believing it's necessary, not just because it's what everybody in your family or everybody in the church, everybody in the community has done. You must believe that you have sin, it needs to be washed away, and you must come paying homage to the God, the only one that can cleanse your sins, and you must come in faith, because without faith, without trusting God explicitly, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, that he really is there, and he rewards those that diligently seek him. And if you come with great demands, you need to go the other way. You've got to come humbly. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. If you're trying to pick yourself up, you can't do it. If you're trying to make yourself seem great, you can't do it. But when you humble yourself before God, like this leper did, you're saying to God, you can make me clean if you will. And that's what I want. That's what God wants from every one of us. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he permitted, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all that obey him. This example of Jesus telling this leper, you go do these things because it's what the law says to do. God says to every one of us, believe in me, repent of your sins, confess my name before men, be baptized into Christ, and live faithfully. When we violate or don't listen to those commands, we have not obeyed God. And though the Lord looks upon us with compassion, he shows us the cross and says, this is for you. Tonight, if you need this example of every man. What a great time to do what God says. To come worship Him. Trust in His will in faith. Humbly accept His will. Lovingly obey what God says. That's the gospel message. That's what brings the grace and the mercy and the love of God into your life in a way that you are cleansed from your sins. And if you need that tonight, we're inviting you to come and let the Lord work in your life. If you need that, come as we stand and as we sing.
Pretense for you and me, let us haste, oh, haste to its brink.